This Sunday, jazz harpist Charles Overton will perform with his quartet in a concert at the Cultural Arts Center of Glen Allen. It's a benefit for the Della Bannister Book Scholarship Fund, and it's presented by the NAASC. That's the National Alumni Association of Spelman College. The featured artist is a Richmond native. In early May, he came through town to play at a friend's wedding, so I invited him to our studios at WCVE to talk about his music and to perform a few selections. Here's harpist Charles Overton with Alone Together on 93.1 and 107.3 WCVE Music. Jazz harpist Charles Overton performing at WCVE's studios. You can catch Charles and his quartet in concert at the Cultural Arts Center of Glen Allen this Sunday afternoon at 4. We'll have more musical performances by Charles Overton coming up, including a beautiful composition by vibraphonist Ed Sandin and some classical harp repertoire. I spoke with Charles to find out more about his background, how he got started playing the harp, and what led him to start playing jazz.
Tell me where you're originally from, and how did you come to play the harp? Right. So I'm from right here in Richmond, Virginia, and I started playing harp because my first harp teacher, Linnell Edgar Cordzaya, was the music teacher at Richmond Montessori School. I think she still is. And one day she just told me to go home and tell my mom that I wanted to play the harp. So naturally, like an obedient child, I did, even though I didn't know really what a harp was. But I talked to my mom about it, and we got a trial lesson set up, and I decided, hey, this is something maybe I could do.
So was this your idea or hers? It kind of sounded like she drafted you.
I guess in a way I was drafted, but definitely this is my calling. And without her, I don't think I would have been introduced to the instrument. And I don't know if I'd be doing music necessarily. So I'm happy that she was so adamant about me trying out a lesson, because I really was drawn to it and just loved the sound of the instrument and kind of had a knack for it.
Linnell Edgar Cordzaya founded the American Youth Harp Ensemble, now called the Green Spring Youth Harp Ensemble. As a member of the group, Charles was exposed to musicians who played the harp but didn't confine themselves to traditional classical harp repertoire.
Linnell she really runs a really exciting and interesting program. She brings in a lot of guest artists, harpists who don't confine themselves to one genre of music. So, for instance, Park Stickney, a legendary jazz harpist, would come through every other year or so. And Monica Stadler is a world music harpist from Austria, whose music I got introduced to through this program. And so, from a very early age, I knew that music other than classical music was a possibility on the harp, and I began to explore those as soon as I was technically able. I think what really hipped me to the idea of, hey, I really want to take this seriously and play, I heard Dave Brubeck's album Time Out and Time Further Out, which is just one of my favorites. It was on repeat my whole junior, senior year of high school, and I decided to take an improv class for classical musicians. It was like improv for non-majors at the Interlochen Arts Academy, where I was attending high school at the time. And through that class, I really discovered, hey, like this whole jazz thing, it isn't just, although it is rooted in improvisation and spontaneous composition, there are certain elements that are codifiable and able to be translated towards any instrument. I just thought, wow, these musicians, they're just way more creative than I could ever be. But in taking this class, I saw a way to get a foot into this world of music that I knew nothing about.
Did you become aware of like Dorothy Ashby or any other, like Alice Coltrane or other? Those are the only two jazz harpists
right.
I know of, really. What became your major influences in terms of playing jazz? Was it harp players or?
So I've had an interesting history with influences, I guess, in playing the harp, because I actually wasn't introduced to musicians like Alice Coltrane or Dorothy Ashby until college, really. So when I was first getting interested in jazz and trying to figure out how to, you know, play chords and lines and that kind of stuff on the instrument, I really turned to piano players. So some of my favorites were Dave Brubeck, Bill Evans for some of the older cats, and then newer guys like Brad Meldow and Aaron Parks were really inspirations for me. Just their whole harmonic language was something that I really dug.
Can you address what the challenges of playing jazz on the harp are versus playing the piano or some other instrument that, you know, is maybe a more traditional choice?
Right. So the way I've encountered it over, you know, trying to navigate this whole journey of playing jazz on the harp, there are really two big obstacles, I like to call them, because they're not impossibilities or hurdles, but just obstacles that need to be navigated carefully. And the first is just the whole notion of chromaticism. And with the harp, a lot of people don't know, but it's tuned diatonically, which means just to a major scale. So you only have 7 given notes available to you at any given time. Whereas on the piano or guitar or any of those other instruments, generally speaking, you have all 12 right in front of you visually, and you can just see all of them and make these aural and visual and tactile relationships with the notes. But with the harp, you use the pedals and your feet and your hands. And sometimes the relationship between the two gets a little bit obscured. So, yeah, just trying to play chromatically and navigate more chromatic harmonies is definitely an obstacle to get over with the harp. And then the second thing is just the notion of articulation. A lot of the way that jazz is played isn't, like if you're playing piano, a lot of the times you're not playing with a sustain pedal. You want things to be clear and pronounced. And with the harp, when you pluck a string, it rings until you tell it not to, until you physically interfere with the sound of the string to make it stop ringing. So I can't say that I'm the first to do this, but trying to develop my own harp technique in trying to be able to play lines while simultaneously muffling the strings that I've just played has been an interesting thing to navigate, while also embracing the naturally resonant nature of the instrument. It's definitely an obstacle.
I'm speaking with jazz harpist Charles Overton. Here's another of the selections he performed at our studios at WCVE. It's a composition by vibraphonist Ed Sandin called Hope. Thank you. Jazz harpist Charles Overton from our studios at 23 Sesame Street, playing here on 93.1 and 107.3 WCVE Music. That was Ed Sandin's composition, Hope.
What makes a piece of repertoire, whether it's a standard like Alone Together or a tune like the Ed Sandin composition, Hope, a piece that works on the harp?
So generally speaking, just from a harmony standpoint, having harmonies that are closely related makes things a lot easier on the harp. Like not having to go from, let's say, C major to B major immediately. Like half-step relationships are our worst friends. Like if you want us to play a John Coltrane tune or one of his recompositions of other standards, like forget about it. I mean, we can try and people do it, but I can't say I'm up to that challenge necessarily yet. But things that work well on harp are just things that allow for the resonance of the instrument to have a role in the music. Like, you can't constantly be trying to overcome the instrument you're playing, so you have to be able to embrace its natural strengths.
I've noticed listening to your group that there's a certain lightness of texture, because I'm guessing that it's pretty easy to overwhelm the harp if you had like an Elvin Jones and a McCoy Tyner pounding out, you know, big stacked chords and really loud instruments. Like, I love the tenor player on your album. He's got like this really nice restraint, right, and it's really musical. What do you look for when you put together an ensemble? How do you build that ensemble so that the harp lays well with it?
Right. So I don't ever want to limit the musicians I'm playing with. I don't want to have to tell people, hey, can you play less here, you know, because you're just covering up the harp. So I'd say the first thing that I look for in musicians to play with, I try to play with friends, you know, people who I like and people who like me. It makes things a lot easier. You can have conversations in rehearsals and in navigating the music in really honest ways that sometimes you can't with a stranger or someone you don't know too well. But then I'd say the second and arguably most important thing is the ability to listen. You know, playing your own ideas, but also being ready to allow the ideas of the people you're playing with to permeate and come into your own musical thoughts. So basically just people whose musical ideas I gel with and are able to listen. Because when I first got to Berkeley, it was really difficult, you know. A lot of people, they just play loud, you know. So it's tough to cut through a texture like that. But I've been lucky to encounter, first of all, my drummer, Peter Barnick, is just one of the most sensitive musicians I've ever met. We went to high school together, actually, before coming back together at Berkeley. But yeah, I'm lucky to have people like him and Max and Greg in the group who do a great job of listening, and it's a lot of fun to play with them.
Charles Overton released his debut recording, Convergence, in the summer of 2017. The musicians who perform on the album are the very same group that will be playing with them on Sunday night. Peter Barnick on drums, Max Ridley on bass, and Greg Groover on tenor sax. Before we listen to Charles's final in-studio solo harp performance, let's hear one of the selections off the recording. This is It Could Happen to You on 93.1 and 107.3 WCVE Music. Thank you. Charles Overton's quartet doing It Could Happen to You off of Overton's debut release called Convergence. For his final performance, I asked Charles to play something from his classical repertoire. He obliged with an excerpt from A Fantasy on a Theme by Haydn by Marcel Grangini.
To what extent are you still playing classical music?
I think I've struck up a nice balance of playing both classical music and jazz. I play with my own group, this quartet that's featured on the album, and then I play in a lot of other different jazz-based ensembles. I play in a trio with a keyboard player slash accordion player and a drummer, and we do a lot of like Balkan music and fusion and drum and bass. A lot of different kind of stuff. I play with this Indian classical vocalist who has translated many jazz standards into her own language, which is super interesting because she sings like with Indian classical techniques, but jazz standards, and it's beautiful and so exciting. Ganavia Doraswamy, she has an album that just came out recently as well. But then, yes, I also play a good deal of classical music. I've had the opportunity to play with the Boston Symphony a few times this past year, playing second harp for pieces like Ein Alpine Symphony by Richard Strauss, played some Debussy back in March and then some Stravinsky in January. I try to maintain an active performance schedule as a classical musician as well. I've just started playing with this new group in Boston called the Cape Cod Chamber Orchestra, which is conducted and artistic directed by a good friend of mine, Matt Cinto. And yeah, so I'm always trying to explore and create my own places to play, you know, not just wait for people to call me to play their wedding, but create my own opportunities to perform music that I'm interested in performing.
Jazz harpist Charles Overton. You can find information on his upcoming performance at the Cultural Arts Center, as well as other performances, videos, and links to his music at charlesovertonmusic.com. That's charlesovertonmusic.com.